In early April, Barb, the UK's television audience measurement currency, issued an RFP inviting tenders for two of its main research contracts. In this ASI cast, our research director, Richard Marks, speaks with Barb's CEO, Justin Sampson, on the priorities identified by industry stakeholders preparing for the next 10 years.
Well, welcome back to the podcast, Justin.
Thank you.
Now, the reason we're here is that Barb has issued an RFP, a request for proposals. Basically, two of the key contracts in the Barb audience measurement system are out for tender. Can you talk us through what those contracts are and what they encompass?
Yeah, it's probably worth highlighting to begin with that the two contracts that we're tendering have been operational since 2010, and we are in extra time on those contracts, and we've made a conscious decision to go into extra time because we've had many developments that have been preoccupying us, collecting census level viewing from broadcaster VOD services and integrating it with the panel data, which most people know shorthand is Project Dovetail, has been preoccupying us. We've also introduced many new features in our services, such as reporting pre-broadcast viewing, box set viewing, tracking addressable ads. All of these things have preoccupied us, and in the last few years we've actively decided to just move the core panel contracts on an extra year to allow us to focus on these new things. But we now think we're in a very strong position to throw all our focus on to how we ensure the core panel that has been at the heart of our services for four decades is fit for purpose for the next decade. So the two contracts we're focusing on are, first of all, audience measurement and data publication. We currently work with Kantar on this, and just in headline terms, the responsibilities there are building and maintaining a panel of homes, installing metering technology that can identify what's being viewed across four devices, and collecting viewing data and reporting that on a daily basis to market. And the second contract is what we call survey design and methodology, which we work with RSMB on. And this, the responsibilities here use a range of audit procedures and QC analyses to ensure effective running of the service, reporting to Barb and our stakeholders on the effectiveness of the service, and advising us on best practice and specifying the overall design of the service. So that's the headlines.
You mentioned the current contract started in 2010. Obviously, it takes a while to build a panel and go through a tender process. So I guess in theory, that effectively the last tender process started in 2007, which is over a decade ago, and clearly a lot's happened. How did you go about finding out what the industry now wants from Barb going forward, and what are the main challenges that you're going to be looking for the bidders to solve in those two contracts?
Naturally, talking to our customers is very important, and our stakeholders are pretty good at telling us what's on their mind when we meet with them as part of the day-to-day governance of running the current system. We also run an annual customer survey, which gives us views from a wider customer base. So we think those all in all give us a good barometer of what the requirements are. And there's a number of challenges we want to address. First of all, how do we get to a place where we can react more quickly to changes in the marketplace? Our customers praise us for delivering a trusted service, but this praise is offset by a concern that we aren't keeping pace with the complexity of the landscape. And equally, customers recognise the enormity of our to-do list, but that doesn't mitigate frustration that initiatives aren't delivered more quickly. So how can we be more nimble and quick in delivering solutions is a big issue on our mind. So something that comes out of every conversation is this black hole of what we call unidentified viewing. So in 2019, in each week so far in 2019, over 23% of all TV set viewing amongst all individuals is unidentified. And that rises to over 45% among people under the age of 35. And our credibility as Barb will be undermined if we don't find a solution for reporting what's going on in this unidentified viewing, with or without the cooperation of services that are taking up or contributing to that unidentified viewing.
So you've got a fair idea, from other surveys and anecdotally of what that is, but obviously at the moment it's not included within the references and the signatures that you use to
Right. So a big question is how easily can we measure these services without them actually actively choosing to be measured in a way that's equitable with all the other channels and services that we report. So that's a big challenge. Two others I'd highlight. One is, how do we engage panel members really effectively? It's always a challenge, but it's increasingly a challenge, I think, in the modern age. Expectations from communications, I think, are higher than they've ever been. I think companies in all sectors are thinking really hard about how do they communicate in an engaging way. We need to help people understand why they should do this, what's in it for them. I think as we get into measuring more online services, we will more often get asked by panel members, are we getting a fair exchange, fair value exchange for the data we're giving you? And also with registration mechanics, if we can't have passive registration techniques, then how do we make the button pressing less onerous or, dare I say it, even a bit more enjoyable? Panel member engagement is a big thing. And the metering technology. We need to have modern metering technology that doesn't look out of place in the modern living room. We think router meters are a big part of the future. And we need meters that can deliver a level of content identification reporting that supports the idea of going to a more granular level of reporting, say second by second. So those are just some of the challenges we're looking to solve for.
There's a few specific points about just the nature of the RFP. Obviously, I'm assuming most of our listeners will be interested in this process, but won't necessarily have seen or read the document itself. The first question I got would be around sample size. The current BARB panel was about 6,000 gross, I think, and about 5,100 homes reporting, and that has been a subject of debate in the past, and I know that Barb's argument in the past has been that even doubling the panel would not have that much effect on effective sample size. But I suspect that argument may have changed, because a couple of years back you investigated possible options for it having an expanded panel. Are you ideally looking for a bigger panel from 2023, or the same size of panel, or are you waiting to see what the proposals are and how cost effective they are?
Well, reducing data variability is as important as ever, particularly if you consider that actually getting on for a quarter of TV set viewing is now not watching BARB reported channels, so that's putting an even more of a pressure on our ability to maintain reliable and robust reporting levels. Inevitably, the cost benefits have to be considered, and for us to make a final decision on sample size, we need to see the responses from tenders, tendering companies, to the costs of a range of panel sizes. Alongside that, we're updating some work we've done previously on sampling errors that can be expected on different size panels, and we're also commissioning some work that will consider the impact of our decisions on the attractiveness of BARB data to subscribers throughout the life of the next contract. And those three inputs will come together to help inform our final decision on what the ideal panel size will be, and we expect to be honing in on that decision about 6 months from now, so middle of Q4.
So by implication, an element of that will also be projecting forward to see how well the current BARB panel size would cope in 10 years' time in terms of the likely shape of viewing. Would that be a fair comment? That you're actually, when you're commissioning a new panel, you're not just commissioning one for now, you're looking much further down the line in terms of how well it will cope with potential further
long
tail diversification of viewing.
Absolutely. And the question is whether the long tail is going to become even longer and even more fragmented, or is it going to kind of stay kind of the shape it is? And these are things we need to just take a view on. I mean, clearly, it's difficult for anyone to know the truth of that when we go into actually making the decision on contract. But we need to obviously pull together information which helps our board make as well-informed decision as they possibly can.
In another element of the current contract that started in 2010 was that it also involved a brand new panel recruited from scratch. Does the new RFP ask for a new panel to be recruited, or potentially, if you went with a new contractor, could you roll that out on the existing panel?
We have specified a contract for what we call setup recruitment, and we expect to award this unless the outcome is to work with Kantar on a panel that's a similar size to the current panel. And in other circumstances, the setup recruitment contract's important so that we can either build our existing panel or put a new panel in place without affecting the maintenance recruitment on the core panel that's clearly delivering data every day during the current contract period. If we choose to work with a new contractor, building the full panel might continue in the first year or two of the new contract, and that would potentially take advantage of homes that have been on the current panel. But whichever way we go, we expect that at the start of the new contract period we'll have a panel of at least the size we have currently.
You mentioned router meters. Does that imply that they might not be incorporated until this new contract starts, or could they still, if the new contract starts in 2023, there's four more years, could they still potentially be rolled out on the current panel in the meantime, or have they been parked for new developments on the next panel?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, I'm on record as saying the router meter is highly likely to be a critical part of future audience measurement systems, and indeed I've highlighted the benefits of them to some of our current challenges, such as identifying what is currently unidentified. And we've run what I think are very valuable tests in the last year with Kantar and with Nielsen using their router meter technologies, and that's only encouraged our belief. Whether we can take advantage of these benefits during the current contract depends on the cost of achieving them, and what we have to bear in mind is some of the benefits can be achieved other ways. So, for example, there's a big demand for us to delineate post-broadcast viewing between PVR playback and watching through a BVOD service, and a router meter can do that, but so can watermarking. And another potential benefit is identifying the use of dynamic ad insertion, and again router meter could do that, but so could watermarking. We think that router meters are probably the most attractive way of getting better insight into how our panel members view on smartphones, which is something that we know people want. We are already reporting smartphone viewing at the all individual level, and we're not yet hearing a clamour for that smartphone viewing to be broken down by demographic, which would be easier to do with a router meter. So all in all, there would be costs involved in deploying a router meter within the current contract, and we have to look at those and put them alongside the benefits, and that's something we're actively thinking about at the moment.
So, to use a current phrase, a number of people are using router meters are still on the table for the potentially for the current contract. But in terms of the request for proposals. Tricky question, I guess, but how prescriptive are they in the sense that you mentioned router meters, you mentioned meters, you mentioned button pressing? If a tenderer came back with something that was completely blue sky, that actually delivered what you wanted but didn't involve those particular technologies but got you the data that you needed, would that be... I guess a two-part question. Do you think that's likely? And if it was possible, would that be something you'd consider? Or?
Well, the way we write the invitation to tender is to say what we want, not how it's going to be delivered. And it's up to people to say how they would deliver against our specifications. And I feel we've done our sort of limbering up for the tender process pretty well. We've done pretty thorough investigations of what's out there. And I would never discount a blue sky left field approach that meets our specifications, but we haven't seen it yet. But we're sort of open minded.
So So it'd be a bit of a plot twist in that.
A bit of a plot twist, yeah.
Unexpected plot twist. Talking of things you've looked at, I know that you've worked and looked at the viability of return path data from set-top boxes, Sky, Virgin, BT, etc. in the past. Will bidders be encouraged to use that? Is it likely to be available in the next contract?
Well, I think, I mean, there's a danger when you're designing measurement services that you pursue lots of different ways of solving the problems, and not all of them can end up being part of your plans. And one of the reasons we commissioned RSMB to do the work which Steve Wilcox presented some of the headlines from at Athens last year, and I won't rehearse all of those, I'm sure the presentation's available on the ASI website.
It is,
One of the reasons we commissioned RSMB to do that work was to say, look, there's a range of ways we could tackle the issue of reducing data variability, which is the most effective. And return path data, if we had commitment from all the platforms to work with us, then I think we would have it close to the top of our priority list. But we don't have that, so we've just pragmatically decided to put that lower down our priority list at the moment. It's not something we've identified as something that will be available to research agencies as part of the tender process. So the focus is very much on how do we achieve the objective of reducing data variability through building and maintaining high quality panels.
So it's less a statistical or methodological issue with return path data. It's more, I guess, Barb has always worked on the principle of I've referred to it in the past as the three musketeers, as in all for one and one for all, in the sense that you would need to get return path data from a number of suppliers to feel happy with using it, as opposed to having one set of return path data that enhanced one part of the service but led to some imbalance in the service as a whole.
That's right, and I mean, a big part of the RSMB work pointed to when you have data that strengthens the results from one part of the universe, that doesn't automatically lead to strengthening across the whole universe naturally, but also there can be some imbalances created which lead to some unintended consequences for the reliability of our data across the whole universe, and that's why we've got to that position. It's not to say we've closed our minds forever, but there comes a point when you have to focus on things that you know you can get hold of and can deliver what you need, and so for that reason return path data isn't something we're actively considering right now.
And we do actually have a video of the Steve Wilcox presentation on our site, so quick plug to listeners if you want to do that, we'll put that in the show notes accompanying this interview. Final quick question on the detail before I widen out finally. How does the Dovetail initiative fit into this tender? You mentioned it, it's come online in the last year, people are using it. Is that included in the RFP? Is it separate from the RFP? How does that particular contract fit in?
It's separate to the RFP. And for us to deliver Dovetail Fusion, we've introduced two new contracts, one which is collecting the census data and the other of which is doing the fusion. Whilst we took a big step forward last autumn with the publication of multiple screen programme ratings, we're still to deliver on two other very important objectives within Dovetail, one of which is net reach and time spent viewing, and the other is multiple screen BVOD campaign performance, and we need to keep focusing on delivering those before we consider putting the contracts that help us deliver Dovetail out to tender. So we can't really afford to take our eye off keeping those deliverables on track whilst we're also running the tender process. So we've got that old problem of trying to walk and chew gum at the same time.
Refueling a plane in midair.
Yeah.
I'm going to work as many metaphors as I can into this. I'd like to widen out a bit, perhaps, and talk about at a more existential level about the coverage of the new panel and new service. Clearly, you, as you mentioned, you're going to be covering broadcaster video in all its forms, but what about forms such as video on other digital platforms like YouTube and Facebook? I know that advertisers are pushing for a total video currency that takes in all forms of video advertising. Have you had conversations involving Facebook or Google about the new contract? Are they involved? Are they likely to be involved?
So from advertiser and media agency perspective, we absolutely get that they want unduplicated unduplicated audience currency across multiple screens, and we're fully engaged in that with Project Dovetail. And we've been very open about our position on the question of whether this should be extended to include the likes of YouTube and Facebook. And 18 months ago, we conducted an industry consultation that looked at this question very specifically. We spoke to the online platforms, we spoke to broadcasters, we spoke to advertisers, we spoke to agencies. And putting to one side the partisan views of the online platforms and the broadcasters, a clear set of expectations emerged from advertisers and agencies that if Barb is going to do this, it has to do it with these expectations clearly in our mind. So the first of them is that the JIC, the Joint Industry Currency, principles of independence, transparency and objectivity just can't be compromised in any way. Secondly, the integrity of Barb's methods shouldn't be impacted by the addition of any channels or platforms. Then you move into the detail of, okay, so what is really needed is an apples with apples comparison. And from the advertiser and agency's perspective, that's vital, and it starts with the issue of metrics. And the message from our consultation was very plain, that advertisers and agencies expect duration weighted metrics, which is what the TV industry has been using for many, many years. But comparability isn't just about metrics, and media context is crucial. And our customers were clear in their expectation that we report the program environments that advertising campaigns are delivered in. And it's also widely recognised and understood that Barb reports audiences to channels and services that have equivalent editorial responsibilities when it comes to how they deliver programmes and commercials to viewers. And so those expectations that came out of that consultation guide us in how we think about whether we extend our services to measure other channels and platforms. Then anybody who's happy to meet those expectations, we're happy to talk to.
Isn't there a danger that, obviously I understand you're setting expectations, but isn't there a danger that basically they go off and do their own thing and create their own currency? There have been rumours in the last week in the trade press of conversations with ISPAR about an online video form of currency. Is that a concern that effectively an analogy in a columnist's writing yesterday was that there was some form of Brexit going on with irreconcilable differences between online video and broadcasters? Is that a concern going into a new contract?
I think we're very clear about what it is that people expect of us, and we've got to meet those expectations. And if other organisations can't live with those expectations and they choose to solve in different ways, that's something we can't control. It's not something we can really get involved in. We have to concentrate on doing what our customers expect of us.
In moving a bit further into the future, it'd be useful just to finally talk about the timeline for the process in terms of, I know you can't reveal too much about how you make the decisions behind the scenes, but broadly, how will you be putting the tenders through their paces? What do you do to ensure that the new solution is fit for purpose? And when will we learn who those new partners will be for Barb in the new contracts?
New or potentially renewing our vows? Who knows? So we're expecting responses to the tender by mid-August. Mm-hmm. And the remainder of 2019 will be occupied with us assessing those responses, and part of that naturally will be us sitting down with the tendering companies and making sure we understand what they've proposed. Another part of it will be us for the audience panel contract, taking the metering technologies that have been proposed and independently testing them in a laboratory environment. So we would have our own technical consultant put the metering technologies through their paces. Clearly there'll be natural due diligence that goes with any contract tender process going on from the legal and financial perspective. And we expect to be in a position in the first quarter of next year where we're down to a short list and into the nitty-gritty of finalising a contract that both parties would be happy to sign. And the expectation is that we sign those contracts about a year from now. So that would then give us 33 months to implement the chosen solutions.
So if someone's floating out there listening to this interview that you're unaware of, that
we'd love to hear from them.
Okay, then how do they get in touch via the website to request a copy?
Yeah, if they go onto the website, there's an opportunity to request a copy of the ITT. You can find my contact details on the website. You could send me an email and I'll send you the ITT with everything you need to know to work out whether you can meet our needs or not.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like by the time we have our conference in November, which is happening this year in Prague in the Czech Republic, it didn't sound like you all have made a decision, but perhaps hopefully you can give us a bit of an update on how the tender process is going by November, and we'll await the
news. I'll see what I'm allowed to say.
It might be quite a short presentation. Conversations are ongoing.
Well, but other things are happening, and actually from our stakeholders' perspective, when we sort of agreed we were going to go to tender, they sort of made the point very strongly that they didn't want the tender process to be a reason to put everything else on hold. And that's one of the reasons behind what some people might think is quite a long process between starting the tender and actually the start of the new contract, the best part of 4 years. But we think that if we tried to do it more quickly, not only would it potentially have inhibited some solutions like building a bigger panel in the time available, but also it would have put a lot of pressure on us as an executive team to keep momentum going on these delivering the next stages of Dovetail, potentially deploying Kantar's router meter in the current panel, which is something that if we did decide to do that, that would clearly take some time and focus whilst we're all. So it is, I think your refueling 35,000 feet analogy is very good. And I'm not sure whether that makes me either pilot making sure that we don't bump about. I guess so.
You're up there in the cockpit looking for storm clouds ahead. Thanks for your time, Justin. It's a really useful background to the tender that's out there. As we discussed, you can go to the BARB website to understand more about the process, and we'll get what sounds like an update, although clearly not an outcome, in November at the conference. So thanks for your time.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks.